To introduce us to our text this morning, I have a question for you. What do all of these have in common? A box jellyfish, a bull ant, a cone snail, a stingray, and death. What do all of them have in common? Answer, all of them can sting you. Today I'm going to talk about some of these creatures that sting to help us think about the sting of death that's mentioned in our passage, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 through 58. We've been digging into this chapter for several weeks, learning glorious truth about the resurrection of the dead. Today we're going to finish this chapter learning truth about the sting of death, and we're going to do so in order to rightly appreciate Christ who gives victory over death. This is a great passage about the salvation Christ provides, the salvation that is signed and sealed in the sacrament that is before us this day. So I invite you to open your Bibles, and if you are able, I ask you to stand for the reading. We stand in honor of God. We recognize that this is His holy word to us. 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verse 54. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the declaration in your holy word of the great victory accomplished through Jesus, your Son, our Lord. And this morning, may we deeply understand that victory before we partake of the sacrament that you have provided for us. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. When our children were young, we would sometimes go to the Monterey Bay Aquarium. It's a wonderful attraction to have nearby. One of my favorite displays in the aquarium is the jellyfish display. This is a picture from a live stream of that display. There's a peaceful beauty to the way they swim around, isn't there? I don't know what type of jellyfish are in the aquarium at Monterey Bay, but I don't believe they have this type in their collection. This is a box jellyfish. As you can see, it is as beautiful as other jellyfish, but this type is very dangerous. This jellyfish can be fatal. It has thousands of stingers, and people have died from their sting. The same is true of a cone snail. If you were scuba diving and saw this cone snail, you very well might want to pick it up. It looks so harmless, but it has a stinger that can harm you or kill you. People have died from the sting of a cone snail. And think about stingrays with me. It's magnificent to watch them swim around. They gently glide through the water. But you might remember that Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter, he was killed by the sting of a stingray. I mentioned such beautiful creatures that look harmless but that can sting because sometimes people describe death as being beautiful and harmless. For instance, here's what Steve Jobs, the late co-founder and CEO of Apple, said about death. Death is the destination we all share. No one has ever escaped it. And that is as it should be, because death is very likely the single best invention of life. It is life's change agent. It clears out the old to make way for the new. Wow. Sounds like death is harmless, even helpful. Here's what Albert Einstein once said about death. The fear of death is the most unjustified of all fears, for there is no risk of accident for someone who's dead. He makes death sound as if it's the absence of pain, the absence of awareness, the absence of danger, mere nothingness. But our passage tells us that death has a stinger. And that is the truth I will note as our first point this morning. Death has a stinger. Verse 56 says, "The sting of death is sin." Death might appear to be peaceful. Rest in peace is a very, very common saying in our culture. Rest in peace. But with the stinger of sin, death is anything but peaceful. With the stinger of sin, death brings pain and suffering for all eternity. To emphasize that, I want to dig deep with you into some earlier verses in 1 Corinthians 15. These are verses I didn't comment much on when we looked at them several weeks ago. Listen to what Paul says in verses 20 through 28 of this chapter we've been digging into. Quote, "For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who puts all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who puts all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all." These verses tell us some great truths about Jesus and also some very serious truth about death and being an enemy of Christ. One great truth about Jesus is that he is reigning right now. Christ Jesus has been reigning ever since he ascended to his Father's right hand. That truth is why believers in Jesus can have confidence and sure hope no matter what is going on in the world. Jesus is reigning right now. And a second great truth is that Jesus is working out his sovereign plan to destroy every rule, authority, and power, putting all his enemies under his feet, including death, a work that will be completed when he comes again. That means Satan and all demonic powers will be destroyed and put under the feet of Jesus, as well as all humans who are his enemy. Every enemy of God will be put under his feet. And any person who is not reconciled to God through Jesus is God's enemy. So this is a very serious truth. And notice that death is also an enemy that will be destroyed. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? What does it mean? Certainly, part of the meaning is that death will never again touch God's people. Satan, the demons, unbelievers, and death will be put under the feet of Jesus when Jesus comes again. They will never be a part of his eternal kingdom. They will not enjoy his reign. They will forever be under his feet. That's an awesome victory Jesus will bring about. But what exactly does that mean for Satan, the demons, unbelievers, and death? Well, to help us better understand what this means, I want to read to you other passages that describe in greater detail what 1 Corinthians 15 is talking about. Here's what Revelation chapter 20 says. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, a lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. This passage is describing the great white throne judgment. At the end of that judgment, Satan and the demons and every person who does not have their name in the book of life will be thrown into the eternal fire. And notice that death will be thrown there as well. All the enemies of God will be put under his feet. They will be locked away forever in that fire. That means eternal agony for Satan, demons, and unbelievers. But again, I ask, what does this mean that death is put there as well? That death is destroyed? Well, I'll read some more passages to give us an even fuller picture of what's going to happen. Here are the words of Jesus recorded in John chapter 5. Starting with verse 25, we read, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to him to have life in himself." Those verses are about believers in Jesus, which we've learned about the past 2 weeks. Our bodies, our physical bodies, will rise to live forever. But now listen to what Jesus goes on to say. He tells us something I have not mentioned the past 2 Sundays. Jesus goes on to say this, "And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." These verses are telling us that the physical bodies of all people will rise. Not just the physical bodies of believers will rise, the physical bodies of all people will rise. All the graves will be empty. And here's the really frightening part. Those who are not believers in Jesus will rise physically to be judged at that great white throne. And then they will be condemned, body and soul. Body and soul will be condemned. It will not merely be the souls of unbelievers that are in hell forever. People will be in hell forever, body and soul. This is truly terrifying to think about, but it's really important to know. What we're learning is that both body and soul will spend eternity somewhere. Everybody's body and soul will spend eternity one of two places. I'll quickly go over what we've learned about believers in Jesus, and then I will explain what we're learning about those who don't believe in Jesus as Savior. I explained the past 2 Sundays that when a believer dies, his or her soul immediately goes to be with Jesus. and the body goes into the grave. The separation of body and soul is death. Body and soul were not meant to be separated. God created his body and soul. They're not meant to be separated. So the separation of body and soul, that's death. But what we're learning today is that death has no stinger for believers. When a believer dies, the soul goes immediately to be with Jesus. There's worship of Jesus and joy for those souls who are in heaven right now. But body and soul are not meant to be separated. That separation of body and soul is death. And so the current heaven, where only souls are at right now, that current heaven where the body of Jesus is and the souls of believers are, that's not our ultimate salvation. Our ultimate salvation will occur when Jesus comes again. When Jesus comes again, our physical bodies will be resurrected and our body will be rejoined to our soul, which is the way it's supposed to be, to enjoy a redeemed heaven and earth. That's the ultimate point of our great salvation. No more separation of body and soul, which is death. No. Death will be over. No more separation. We've learned about that the past two Sundays. Now, what we're learning today is this. When an unbeliever dies, his or her physical body goes into the grave just like the body of a believer. But his or her soul does not go to be with Jesus. His or her soul is in hell, a terrible place, and their souls are in torment right now. But that's not the ultimate point of punishment. The ultimate point of punishment comes at the great white throne judgment that we were learning about, that we just read about. When Jesus comes again, the physical bodies of unbelievers will also rise and be rejoined with their souls. And in body and soul, they will stand before the judgment seat. And in body and soul, they will be cast into the eternal lake of fire. That will be their ultimate eternal punishment. To emphasize this truth, I will read to you some more words of Jesus. These are words recorded in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Jesus said, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy," listen carefully, "destroy what? Both soul and body in hell." That statement is what we're learning about. God will destroy, not annihilate, not removed from existence. He will destroy not just the soul, but the body as well in hell. That is the ultimate point of judgment and punishment. That is when all the enemies of Jesus will be under his feet. Now think about this. When Jesus comes again, every human body will be rejoined to its soul. Never again will there be separation of body and soul for anybody. Never again will there be separation of body and soul for any person. That's what it means to say death will be destroyed. Never again will body and soul be separated for anyone. Death will be destroyed. William Hendrickson, in his excellent book, More Than Conquerors, writes this: "Neither in the new heaven, nor upon the new earth, nor even in hell will there ever be a separation between body and soul after Christ's second coming for judgment. Therefore, symbolically speaking, death and Hades, now personified, are hurled into the lake of fire, and anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was also flung into the fiery lake." Satan, the demons, all unbelievers, and death itself will be locked away in hell forever, because people will be in hell, both body and soul. That is what 1 Corinthians 15 is referring to, verses 25 and 26, when it says, "For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death." I want to show you what the Belgic Confession says about this in this series. I've been reading to you from the Belgic Confession. This is a great confession. It gives a well-worded summary of everything we've learned. Here is now all of Article 37 called the Last Judgment. Finally, we believe, according to God's word, that when the time appointed by the Lord is come, which is unknown to all creatures, and the number of the elect is complete, our Lord Jesus Christ will come from heaven bodily and visibly as he ascended with great glory and majesty to declare himself the judge of the living and the dead. He will burn this old world in fire and flame in order to cleanse it. In other words, there's going to be a new earth, a redeemed earth to live on. Goes on to say, then all human creatures will appear in person before the great judge. Notice it says all human creatures. Every single person ever conceived. Men, women, and children who have lived from the beginning until the end of the world, from Adam and Eve to the last person conceived, they will be summoned there by the voice of the archangel and by the sound of the divine trumpet. For all those who died before that time will be raised from the earth. The all in that statement is still referring to all human creatures. Every single person ever conceived, all who have died before the coming of Christ, will rise. Their spirits being joined and united with their own bodies in which they lived. Everyone who has died comes out of the grave. That is when death is destroyed. No more separation of body and soul. And as for those who are still alive, they will not die like the others, but will be changed in the twinkling of an eye from corruptible to incorruptible. Then the books, that is, the consciences, will be opened, and the dead will be judged according to the things they did in the world, whether good or evil. Indeed, all people will give account of all the idle words they have spoken, which the world regards as only playing games. And then the secrets and hypocrisies of men will be publicly uncovered in the sight of all. Therefore, with good reason, the thought of this judgment is horrible and dreadful to wicked and evil people, but it is very pleasant and a great comfort to the righteous and elect, since their total redemption will then be accomplished. Notice the difference being pointed at. All people will be at the judgment, body and soul. For some, it will be terrifying. For others, a great comfort. They will then receive the fruits of their labor and of the trouble they have suffered. Their innocence will be openly recognized by all, and they will see the terrible vengeance that God will bring on the evil ones who tyrannized, oppressed, and tormented them in this world. The evil ones will be convicted by the witness of their own consciences and shall be made immortal. Not only to be tormented in the everlasting fire, made immortal, but only to be tormented in the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Just note those words. This is what we're learning right now. They will be made immortal. Body and soul. Why? To be tormented. That has to be one of the most frightening sentences in any confession of faith. But now listen to the next sweet, comforting words. In contrast, the faithful and elect will be crowned with glory and honor. The Son of God will confess their names. Before God and His Father and the holy and elect angels, all tears will be wiped away from their eyes. And their cause, at present condemned as heretical and evil by many judges and civil officers, will be acknowledged as the cause of the Son of God. And as a gracious reward, the Lord will make them to possess a glory such as the heart of man could never imagine. What a contrast. What a contrast. This is a contrast we need to know about. It is a contrast we need to think about. It is a contrast that should shape how we view life and purpose. Death will be destroyed by Christ, but death has a sting, a major sting, a frightful sting, an eternal sting, and that sting, we are told, is sin. People will experience eternal punishment, body and soul, for their sins. That is truth we also need to understand. Death has a sting. That's the bad news. And the more you understand that bad news, the more you appreciate and find comfort in the good news that there is victory through our Lord Jesus. For death's stinger has been removed by Christ Jesus. That's my next point. Death's stinger has been removed by Christ for his people. Verse 55, Paul asks a question, quoting the prophet Hosea. He asks, "Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting?" Paul asks that question because for those who believe in Christ, the stinger has been removed. And I ask you, do you know how Christ Jesus did that? Do you know how Christ removed the stinger of death for his people who believe on him? The table set before us reminds us of what Christ did. Christ removed the stinger by bearing the stinger of death in his own flesh. Christ bore our sins and he nailed them to the cross. Christ stood in the place of all who believe on him and he let the stinger strike him. I find it helpful to think of a stingray. A stingray has only one stinger, one nasty stinger. You can see it in this picture. It's a barbed spine located halfway down the tail. The barbed spine can be fatal. That's what killed Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter, that spine there. Now, think about this. The stinger only has one stinger. Once it's used, it's gone. And it takes a stingray about 3 months or so to grow another stinger. So once the stinger is removed, for 3 months, that stingray is completely safe. It cannot harm you. That's why you are sometimes allowed to touch them in an aquarium. They are harmless. Nothing to be afraid of when their stinger is gone. Using that picture, here's what our passage is telling us. Christ stood in our place, and he let the stinger enter him. He took the stinger of death for us, leaving death completely harmless to all who believe in him. In Christ, there is complete victory over death. We might die before Christ returns, but death will have no sting. Our souls will go to be with Jesus, where we will immediately enjoy him. And then someday, Christ is going to return on the clouds. Our bodies will rise to life. And when that occurs, death will be destroyed forever. That is true for all who repent and turn to Jesus as Lord and Savior. It is for all who are united to him in faith. For all others, death will very effectively use its stinger. This table before us is a reminder of all that truth. The table declares to believers, Christ took the sting of death for you. He conquered death for you. And this table declares to unbelievers, don't underestimate death. Don't paint a rosy picture of death. Don't ignore its sting. Don't look at death as something harmless. Don't think you will sleep in peace. You won't. So if you do not yet have a relationship with Jesus, I urge you to turn to him right now for the salvation that he graciously gives. Some of you have not yet professed your faith in Christ. I ask you to think about that. Where are you at with Christ Jesus? What if you were to meet death this week? Would it sting you? If you say, no, it would not sting me, I have faith in Christ, then I ask, well, why have you professed your faith then? True belief in Christ is not merely intellectual. When you believe in Christ, you turn to Him as your Lord. He is the great King, the great victor. True belief bows before Him. It declares Him. True belief lives for Christ. Listen to the last verse of 1 Corinthians 15. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. That is true belief. Being willing to live and die for Christ, knowing He took the sting of death. Do you have that belief, that faith? If not, turn to Christ right now. Turn to Him right now and make plans to publicly profess your faith in Him. And if you do have that faith, if Christ is your Savior, well then let this sacrament set before us spur you on. Leave here today being steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of our victorious Lord. Please bow with me in prayer. Father God, we are grateful that Christ stood in the place of all of us who believe in Him and took that stinger of death for us. Thank you for the sacrament set before us that seals that, that reminds us of that great victory for us. We pray that you would nourish us at this table, and we also pray right now that you would use this moment to work in the hearts of people who have not yet bowed before you. May you, by your grace, your mercy, your power, may you touch hearts right now. Whether in this room or through live stream, touch hearts right now. Bring people into a reconciled relationship with you through Jesus, that death might have no sting for them. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.